Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to move with the recommendation, and the option that we're looking at is on page.
Option three.
So it's $705,000. Now, members, this might seem a lot of money. It is. I acknowledge that. But is this piece of land and this jewel in the crown worth that money? And I say it is. Members would recall that there was a controversial issue of removing a roundhouse. Councillor Pryor and us, myself, didn't want that to happen. However, we respect the council's decision. It's not a decision we wanted. However, there were comments made during that debate that council would make sure that an appropriate repatriation of the area for community use would be made. This is your opportunity. I think everybody would acknowledge, Mr. Mayor, that the Oaklands wetland area has been a wonderful success and will actually flourish and bloom in years to come with the growth of all the plantings. The skateboard facility has been a success for our young people. It's had its issues and we're addressing those continually, and I'm impressed by the council's investment in that by creating organised activities on the site to try and provide some guidance. The roundhouse going hopefully will create some opportunities. And the vision at the moment is to create a centrepiece with the rotunda, somewhere for the band maybe to play in the near future. And this can actually be the icing on the cake for this area. There's other work at the back of the reserve that we'd like to do as well, but that's a work in progress and it's all being done in stages. But geez, it's coming together nicely. It's very, very impressive. It's a long haul, Mr. Mayor, from 1995, where the land was proposed for sale for housing. It was a fight to stop that happening. It was a fight to convince that a wetland was a good option for the area, and it has been. This can actually now be a marketing opportunity for us to create that sense of place where people can have a vantage point over the wetland. It's already been used for weddings, but I would think that would actually increase dramatically. It will be the place to go to do that sort of thing. And whilst it is expensive, I can only urge you to support this because I'm sure in years to come you'll see the benefit of your investment.
Councillor Pryor?
Yeah, very quickly in support of my co-councillor. It's rare that you find a piece of land like this in our council. It's also rare that you find a piece of land which has existing services attached to it. It already has a heap of car parks. It already has a couple of toilets. It's a really good opportunity to finish this area off really nicely and maintain it as the jewel in the Marion Crown. One thing I'd like to add is that we have a very active residents group in the area, and I think that they need to be kept informed. They need to be kept in the loop. They have valuable feedback for us, and then more often than not, they're the guys that end up cleaning up the mess, from what I understand. So with that in mind, I commend the motion.
Anyone speaking against the motion? Councillor Crossland?
I'm not speaking against, but I have a question. It's just a question for staff. I have asked it already privately, but just for the benefit of other members. My concern was basically that I noticed that we're getting quite a few projects where they were staged, where they were dependent on grant funding being obtained before they would progress. The one I obviously used was the Heron Way foreshore. So I was concerned that we were looking at funding this all from council funds. But I think probably the best way of answering that would be to let staff answer themselves.
And Ms. Dixon?
Through the chair, with all projects we seek grant funding to offset the cost to council, so that's a continual approached by staff in regards to the Rec Plaza for Oaklands Park. We've submitted a grant to DIPTI for an amount of up to $300K, and if we're successful, that would offset the costs that are detailed in this report tonight. In terms of, like, the mention of the Hallett Cove foreshore plan, similarly, when a report comes to council in March this year, the funding will seek full funding, but again, we will be seeking grant funding to offset that cost. So it allows the project to go ahead, and we seek to reduce costs as much as possible.
An example was an application I signed off just today. The Hallett Cove, the walking trail on the foreshore at Hallett Cove, where a grant was advertised. I mentioned it to Councillor Crossland and the staff. We've already got $1 million in the budget, but we've asked for $200,000 to assist us with that. So it's a fairly normal process.
Yeah,
Councillor Telfer.
Thank you.
Regrettably, I have to speak against this. My reason is that I believe they not the infrastructure to do with the pergola and the grass and the making good is appropriate, but I think it's more appropriate to have a green corridor along the river. But secondly, I'm very concerned about the space there that we're putting a lot of money in for toddlers' trikes and so on, when we have about to put in a neighbourhood a park just 100 metres up, redo our current neighbourhood park, and across the road we have another one in terms of the Touch by Liberty, which is all age, all inclusive. So my concern is to have a painted out blue areas and prepared for toddlers' tracks away from the cars. Admittedly, you're going to put in 10 car parks, but I was there yesterday. And if you're going to park on the road that goes into the wetlands, it's a long way away. And if you've got two children, you will be at the playground with the toddler's trike. And one or other, across the road at Touch by Olivia or further down at the Oaklands Reserve Playground. So it doesn't add up in my brain. And so I think it's a waste of money for that little facility. The rest of it I love, but I can't move a motion to defer it or change it, so I'll have to vote against that bit.
I've just got a question for the mover. What is it about option three that attracts you more than option two? What are the extra goodies that you're after?
Well, you asked the question. In terms of car park, the car parking that Councillor Telfer hasn't acknowledged, there's about 13 or so there, as I count. So that's certainly picked up.
Are there in option two as well?
That's right. That's what I'm pointing out.
Now, what I'm asking you, though, is what's... never mind. You can do it in your closing address.
No, well, give me a chance.
No, well, you're talking off the topic. You're going to get your 3 minutes in a moment anyway.
Well, why ask me a question if you're not going to give me a chance to
answer? Well, because you're not going to answer it.
Well, yes,
so
I will.
Other contributions to the debate, Councillor Valescu?
I think it's actually, I would like the opportunity to revise this to see actually what we want on that site, because the most appealing thing for me on there is the enhanced rotunda in option three. But I don't necessarily want to have all the bells and whistles that go along with that. I also like the fact that, you know, you have the car park and some basketball. But I think Councillor Telfer is right. We moved the Touch by Olivia Foundation over to Duncan Avenue because there was too much on that site. And I think we really need to be careful. So I don't want to... It's not as if I'm not supporting this, but I just think we need to be careful and see what we want on that site. Considering so much is going on nearby.
Can I just ask Ms. Dixon, if we're going to approve option three, presumably elected members are going to be consulted in more detail about design?
Through the chair, yes. So a final concept plan and report and results for the community consultation will come back to council, and that's in April, May.
All right, thank you. Now, Councillor Crossan, you had a question, but you...
Sorry, through the chair, June, the report will come.
June, okay. Councillor Crossland, you haven't spoken yet. Did you wish to?
It was more of a comment. Look, I have publicly said that I'd like to see this area developed well. I do like the rotunda mentioned in option three. That is the main reason I prefer that, but there are some elements of option three which I'm not keen on. In response to Councillor Telfer, I don't know if staff can assist, but my interpretation of what's been planned for the Oaklands area is not really formalised play. It's more for family meeting, walking. There is some table tennis and basketball, but that won't be available over the road. So I just see it as completely different, but I might be mistaken, and maybe staff could help with that.
Ms Dixon?
Through the chair, that is correct. It's less formal play and more just general family recreation. Yeah.
Okay. If there are no other... Councillor Gard. Yes.
Would members agree that it is relevant to minute what we do propose to do as far as funding is concerned in relation to this, irrespective of which option we're looking at? If we're intending to seek funding of several hundred thousand dollars, to me that's a point of significance for the record, or is it too much of a grey issue?
I think what we're saying, Councillor Gard, is that that is standard operating procedure.
Okay.
So
yeah,
it really applies to everything. But the point is, unless we say yes to the higher figure, then there's no kind of authorisation to move forward.
Understand.
Now, you have spoken, haven't you, Councillor Bliski? Yeah, well, that's your opportunity to ask questions, so I'm not going back to you now. We've got to move this along. Councillor Hull, would you like to close the debate? Thanks. And address those issues that have been raised. Thank you.
To answer your question, the difference between option two and option three are in the report. It's detailed quite extensively in the report, both in written form and pictorial form. And from what I can see, picking up Councillor Crosland's point, is the point of difference, the strongest point of difference, is the rotunda. You can either have a lean-to, a classic lean-to that we have in most of our reserves, or you have a proper rotunda befitting of this reserve. And the focal point and the centrepiece of the reserve. It's about $100,000. The difference, but it's less than that for the rotunda because there's other aspects as well. So we're not talking about a lot of money in difference between the rotundas. And I think that is the point in question. I hope, Mr. Mayor, that we've cleared up the car parking. There is car parking. 13 car parks, roughly, that I can see. A turning circle. So it is actually convenient car parking as well, where you're not reversing and jostling around trying to get out of the car park. We've heard about dip tie. Great point. And the more we invest in this area, the more attractive it will be for the government to want to be a part of it. The Green Corridor is still happening. It's happening in rapid fashion. In fact, we had the biggest planting, Mr. Mayor, in the nation over a number of years with the National Tree Planting Day. The Green Corridor is completely embedded in the planning for this reserve, and in fact, it's well progressed. As for Touched by Olivia, that is a separate project with a different client base. It's designed predominantly for disabled kids, and I wish that well, and it's happening not far away.
Point of order, I believe that the Touched by Olivia is an inclusive playground for all ages and skill levels.
That's a point of debate, not a point of order. Please go on, Councillor Hull.
The point made just then, Mr. Mayor, is that children of any capacity or capability can actually use both of these areas, and they'll migrate from one to the other depending on their level of capacity. And there's a set of traffic lights there to enable that to happen fortuitously. So, you know, there's a lot of synergy there between the two areas, and I just think that if you're going to actually vote on this, think about the Rotunda. If you want the off-the-shelf Bunnings Rotunda, go right ahead and go with option two. If you want to actually have something to be proud of and at a centre point where somebody might want to go and have that wedding photo done, think about option three. Like, are we actually going to go along with mediocrity, or are we actually going to do something really stunning here with the City of Marion? That's what I'd like to ask. That's the difference between the options.
All those in favour, please raise your hand. All those against, it's carried by a majority. Thank you. Well spoken. Now, page 214, expansion of the food waste recycling program. Councillor Bliskett.
Yes, Your Worship, I'm going to move the point as is. However, I would like to have a fourth point, that the City of Marion seek to encourage people not wasting food, essentially. I think that...
Well, do you want to put it in the positive, is there anything practical in what you're saying, or is it just sort of an attitude?
Well, if it's food scraps, it's one thing, but if it's actually food that we're throwing away, I think that's something, because it does actually say food waste. I think we need to identify that it's not something we actually support, because it's counterproductive. It's a very expensive and resource-intensive way of making compost.
The City of Marion encourages residents not to waste food.
Yeah, essentially.
Okay, we can do that. It's being typed up. Point number four. The City of Marion encourages residents not to waste food. Okay, you may speak to it.
Yeah, look, I think this is a good option to have, where people can start removing some of the smellier items from their bins, and we may even need to consider whether this will eventually lead to us having to collect green waste more often. I guess that's something we'll need to look into later on. But I think it does actually get people thinking differently, and I think this is a prudent way to go, because we're actually encouraging people that want to do it to do it. City of Burnside gave their caddies to everyone, and who knows what those caddies are doing now. Whilst what we're giving to people for their kitchen caddies is actually to people that actually want to use it. And I do know that the waste education people do a very good job. I've seen a couple of their presentations over the years. If you get the opportunity to actually see what happens in our recycling depots, but that's another issue.
Councillor Byram.
Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, I did want to take this opportunity to commend the workers in Marion that deal with our waste education and speaking with the public, and I've seen how much effort goes into that and just how good that is out there in helping people, and yes, I do want to have that passed on to staff, that is excellent work, and I do support this wholeheartedly to see this expanded.
Anyone speaking against the motion? Question from Councillor.
In terms of the waste levy that this council pays, and the millions of dollars the government has squirreled away, is there any chance of actually getting some of that to help with such projects?
You might want to clarify, Councillor Hull.
Yeah, could you please just repeat that question, sorry, Councillor Hull?
Well, the state government takes a waste levy from the council, every council. There's been millions put away in the coffers, and I'd like to know, with a project such as this, how can we tap into the waste levy that our citizens have been paying?
Through the chair, and Mr. Mifsud may want to add more. In the report, it indicates with this initiative and expansion that it will produce savings of approximately $5,700 in landfill disposal costs each year. That's Mr. may be able to add some more.
Well, the other point is that, you know, we're seeking a grant of $10,300 towards it, so it's that's state government money. Mr. Mistrup?
Chair, I can
Through the chair, thank you. I can confirm that the grant that we're applying for as part of this food waste recycling program is from the landfill levy, from the waste levy of the EPA. We do continue to work with the LGA as well and to continually advocate for that funding to go back into recycling education.
So that's a yes. Councillor Pryor?
Just a quick question. Can we confirm that this is actually going to save us $5,700 on landfill disposal costs? Is that something that we've confirmed with our provider?
Where's that figure come from? Ms. Boone?
Through the chair, that's an estimate based on what we've seen with recycling programs in other councils, based on audit data from the recycling of food scraps that has been found in the Green Organics Service.
So our food scraps at the moment are going to landfill, is that right?
Through the chair, approximately 30% of food scraps from waste in the City of Marion is going to landfill, and that data was gained from a waste audit conducted in 2015. And the figure of $5,700 approximate savings is based on extrapolations gained from both our waste audit data and data from Green Industries SA.
Councillor Hutchinson.
Thank you, Your Worship. I've got a question and a comment to make. Previously, we also promoted the fact that residents could use simply newspaper and put it into their green bin. It seems that we go to a lot of expense, and there's a bit of expectation around supplying these liner bags previously, where residents are coming back and saying, I want some more liner bags. Why aren't we spending more effort on the actual intent of what we want to achieve, and that is getting people to put the product into their green bin, either in newspaper or in raw form? Why aren't we doing more on that front?
Through the chair, that concept of people putting food into their green bin wrapped in newspaper is certainly part of the promotion that's involved. The Kitchen Caddy program itself is what has gained the traction for this promotion, and that's the cornerstone of what's made it a successful behaviour change campaign. Currently we have 10% of residents using Kitchen Caddies in our Marion community. Whereas I understand we have a baseline of about 17% of residents putting food scraps into their organics bin. So we're investing, so if we propose to invest this funding, I think that we'll see, as we have seen already, further reaching uptake of this changed behaviour in putting food into their green bin as opposed into their red bin and sending it to landfill.
Right, Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Worship. I'll probably just take this opportunity as well just to do a bit of a plug for our association with the Southern Waste Recycling Authority, SWARA. For members who didn't attend the field trip that we did there, one of the things that we were shown was the potential for recycling everything out of our red bins. And a lot of that green waste and food waste that goes through the red bin will eventually be turned to soil that can be actually used as capping on the recycling plant. So we're not there yet, but eventually we will be recycling all the green waste that ends up in red bins.
Okay, at time, there's no real opposition. Did you need to close the debate briefly? No. I'll put that to a vote. All those in favour? Raise your hand. All those against? That's carried by majority. Thank you. And now we turn to youth development, page 220. Councillor Crossland.
Yes. I haven't got a new motion. I'm happy to endorse and recommend the motion printed.
Read your mind. Is that seconded? Councillor Hull. Anyone speaking against? I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. Carried unanimously. Thank you, members. I know a lot of background work's gone into that. Let's move on to page 226, Streetscape Project Programme of Works. I know there's been a bit of elected member feedback around this one. Do you want to just introduce this topic, Mr. Lyons? I mean, do we need to do anything more than proceed? Is there any variation?
As far as introducing it, Your Worship, it is based on the Streetscape Priority Matrix that was agreed by members last year. Members put together some scoring processes for that. Staff applied the scoring and the matrix was endorsed by Council last year. The proposed program of works, essentially with works that are already underway, will satisfy the top 10 projects in the course of the next 5 years. And that's attached in Appendix 2.
Well, I, for one, am going to suggest that on page 231, that where we see Alawuna Avenue construct, I don't have a problem with Marion Road to the Tonsley Rail Crossing, but I suggest everything should be deleted after that because there are some question marks around the design and extent of it. And I noticed that with other issues, for example, we don't have that description. So let's just leave it open and allow the design process to dictate what we end up with. But, Mr. Lyons, do you have any comment?
I'm happy to accept the intent of that the design of the project will be fleshed out in full during the course of the project.
Before we start, and I, Councillor Telfer, what point did you want to make, or did you want to move? Yep, up to you. Councillor Telfer, go ahead.
I want in the first instance to move items 1, 3, 4 and 5 and then come back to moving an amendment to number 2.
Right, so really you're moving the non-controversial parts of what is suggested. So is that seconded? Councillor Hutchinson, let's just put this through without... Councillor Hull. Well, I think that's more relevant to the next motion that's coming up. But Mr. Lyons, can you answer, please?
I understand that there is outstanding obligations from that historic PLEC funding. Our staff are aware of them. And I unfortunately have to assume that they will be taking into account in this project.
Anyone else want to... anyone else have a question about this non-controversial aspect of the business, Mr. Councillor Crossland?
No, I'll wait, because I think my question's more about the Appendix 2 of work, so yeah.
Yeah, we're going to come back to that, really. So I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried by majority. Now, we've left the programme of works to be discussed. Councillor Telfer to move.
I have an alternate motion that I bring forward that I've emailed through to staff, but I have a hard copy as well. I've emailed to the three of you, but you may not have been picking things up. No? Okay.
We'll grab the hard copy. Well, that's being typed up. Councillor Crossland, you had a question?
Two questions for Mr. Lyons, Your Worship. The first was looking at the schedule of works. So two questions. One, the criteria for community impact, which I know was a major thing that Council wanted to have considered. Some of the roads on there look like they're minor, not very well used roads, and I just wondered how you'd assess the community impact as high and whether we're actually using the road count data that Council often has for these roads in consideration of the number of people using them.
Mr. Lyons?
Councillor Crossland, I'll be honest, I wasn't involved in the assignment of the scores. Could you help me with a an example, perhaps?
I don't really want to individualise a particular street, but I'm just wondering if traffic counts could maybe reinforce that data with some factual evidence.
I can look into that, Councillor, yes.
And the second question, I knew and I'm going to apologise to Southern Hills Ward here, but we were trying to distribute the streetscaping plan through different ward areas, and I might be wrong, but I can't see any proposal to do any single street in Southern Hills Ward.
Morfitt Road.
Councillor Crossland.
I just draw staff's attention to number 50, Oval Road, Hallett Cove in Southern Hills. That seems unusual.
Sorry, that is correct. It's technically Hallett Cove Heights.
Hallett Cove Heights. Well, that's a different story. But yes, there are a few Southern Hills roads there, Morfitt Road, Devonport Terrace. There are a few there. And I don't know. I mean, I know that the equity and fairness principle is very important, but not all measures will be equally applicable across every ward.
And I think, in fairness, we're also implementing a tree-scaping project that sits alongside it, which will cover other streets. Is that correct?
Mr. Lyons says yes.
We're advocating probably about 4 kilometres of mature tree planting, and we're going to recommend that that be allocated across the wards equally, and ward councillors would decide where that goes.
I'm not sure that's a good idea, but I'll have 10 outside my house, thanks. That's a joke. I don't think... Let me just clarify that. It's a very serious point. I'm really pleased to hear about the rollout of trees. I'm very happy to hear about a fair and equitable distribution across wards, but I don't think it's a matter of councillors saying where these sort of community benefits should go. We need criteria that all councils are happy with, and then we apply those criteria, whether it's the length of the road, the age of the housing, I don't care what it is. But there needs to be a degree of objectivity, and by all means, consultation with the ward councillors, perhaps in a ward briefing or otherwise. But I just hope you'll take my remarks on board, Mr. Lyons. So, Councillor Velisco?
A question in regards to trees. Who's responsible for trees on main roads in, for example, South Road on our side of the boundary?
Mr. Lyons?
I understand that that's Dip Tye that's responsible for that. Matt, can you confirm? No, Matt's shaking his head. Do you need to... It's us? It's us. I may need Matt in a minute.
I just got a question. What do we do as far as removing trees? Or that may be too big. Is that something that we would do?
We've got Mr. Allen coming up to help you with that one. While he's coming up, Councillor Telfer, I just point out that at the moment our March and April forums are quite booked. But I suppose we can always push something else out. The problem is that the March elected member forum deals with the budget, and the April items, with the exception one that's a time-sensitive planning one, are all related to requests that have come from staff which might have a bearing. Maybe the waste one could be moved. But look, if that's the timetable you want to keep to, then we'll make sure we do it one way or another.
There are just a few typos. It's probably my writing or the fact I didn't translate. That council to distribute doesn't quite make sense. The council's above, sorry. To distribute resources of streetscaping to more streets throughout the city of Marion and it would have to be in the streetscape 5-year program of works. I've changed the meaning. All right, take the in out, sorry. The streetscape 5-year program of works be deferred to the general council meeting of the 9th of April to permit consideration of an elected member forum of more frugal treatments of the listed streets.
Councillor Telfer, we really need to deal with budget matters in the March forum. The April forum we could squeeze it into, but that occurs after the 9th of April. So okay. Intention, I'd just suggest 9th of May is your general council meeting date. Thank you.
Okay, let's try 9th of May. All right, so sorry about that. Can I speak to that now?
Yes, please.
We have a commitment, a hierarchy that wasn't done by us but by staff. We have waited passionately for Alawuna, which is scruffy, and the entrance to Tonsley to be upgraded. We have waited for over at least 6 to 8 years for the streetscape of Finnis Marion. My sticking point is that the design that has been brought forward at some cost, which takes away money that can be used in streetscapes in other places, that is a design to have a shared pathway like the one Ascot Railway Terrace, Ascot Park. And my concern about that is that we might be paying another $1 million to realign the bikeway, walkway, to re-curb water table and change utilities to make this happen in Alawuna. And if we honour the fact that the vulnerable users are actually going to be the walking public from Tonsley to Marion Shopping Centre and from the railway station that will be there, then those vulnerable walkers deserve a proper wide footpath under the new guidelines, which is a bit wider than we have now on our streets but is part of the Australian standards. So I believe that children can ride along the footpath legally, and that people can walk gently, and I'm hoping that we can do the Alawuna for half the price. That's why I need time to investigate this.
Thank you. And what I would ask of staff is to go to the next level of detail in terms of the anticipated costing of some of these things. So still back of an envelope, but when we talk about 1.x million for Alawuna, can we break that down to the path, the plants, the roundabout, whether it's 6 or 8 or 10 items, so that we've got a better idea of where that money's going? Because I think the general intent behind the motion is that we want to have less luxury but spread the love further to a greater number of streets sooner. So if that next level of detail could be provided, obviously not a detailed costing but just a series of headings, that sort of thing. Thank you. Now, is that seconded? Councillor Crossland is seconding that, is speaking to it?
Just briefly, I commend Councillor Telfer for working on this. I think it's prudent to have a good look at how we deliver the streetscaping, because it will have ramifications for many years and could increase the cost significantly.
Anyone opposing? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Sorry. I haven't put the vote yet, really. Councillor Gard, question?
As members know, and some management are aware, I have had some words to say about the subject of fairness and equity in the last 24, 48 hours, and that was actually dissociated initially from a meeting planned with management that I had yesterday. At that meeting, we had some discussion about the issues of Merino and how Merino could be assessed as a special case. And I asked Mr. Lyons if he could perhaps confirm as a minute for this meeting what he would recommend as to a separate motion down the track for Merino.
I'm not sure this is general counsel business. Can't it be? I'll invite Mr. Lyons to make a comment, but it's probably something that should happen outside the meeting. Mr. Lyons?
Firstly, I'll say, Councillor Gard, that Matt and I thoroughly enjoyed our catch-up yesterday. I think we made some excellent headway and we enjoyed your company for the 2.5 hours we were down there. My left ear is still ringing a little. I think we discussed some good outcomes and Matt and I have acknowledged that we would like to prepare a report on the status of tree coverage in Merino. We agreed that our David Childrick would do that. He is the person for the job and Matt has commenced that. That will take us a little bit of time, but it will tell us the treed areas within Merino and how it compares to the other treed areas within the city of Marion. As far as making a difference, we discussed that the streetscape program is essentially tied to the priority matrix, which we've discussed, and that the best way of prioritising your works in Merino is through the canopy tree program. And I take the Mayor's comments earlier about the prioritisation of those and the objectives, which we can work with councillors. And also, David has the ability in his other planting, and he does do 1,000 to 1,500 other plants, after the review of the Merino status to fill some gaps. And the best thing I can do for you now is not to propose a resolution, but to do that work and report back on that how we go.
Now, I must finish with this item. Just on that point, there will be trouble if any councillors are suggesting increase of allocation in their own streets. So I just make that general comment. Is there need for more debate?
I just have one further question.
Sorry, Councillor Gard, go ahead.
Yep. In the light of what you've just said, Mr. Lyons, is it okay, in your view, as to the project that we're talking about, to let this motion go through as it currently stands? In other words, we're not crippling the possibility of that extra process in passing this motion tonight.
We're not crippling our conversation about Merino. Could impact. We are having a meeting next Monday with regard to the Alawuna design, and as members know, we are doing the design of Alawuna this financial year, and it's important we do move on that so that we don't have one design carryovers this year and then delays in construction and therefore carryovers next year. So it is important that we keep Alawuna going, but this motion will be fine with that. Is that helpful?
Yes, I'm just making sure we're not banging gates prematurely.
I will have some views at the forum where we discussed. I am an advocate of the streetscape guidelines. I think council should be proud of what they engaged and produced there. And as a worker in Marion, I'd love to see that rolled out.
Thank you.
All right, let's keep going.
Just Councillor a quick question, Mr. Mayor. I've seen attempts to address this over the years, and I'd like the staff to take this question on notice. In terms of the proximities of Marino through to Halicove Foreshore, up to Halicove Heights, as we now call it. I'd like to know what the mortality rate is for our street trees in terms of those who do not want to have their views obscured from their homes. I would like to know how much boiling water has been used on our street trees up in those areas so we can actually make a considered decision about tree planting in a practical sense.
Okay. Councillor Hutchinson.
Yeah, absolutely agree with that. My residents in Seacombe Heights do not want street trees. They will cut them down. They will boil them to death. They do not want them.
Thank you for your passionate advocacy. And if there are no other speakers, I'll now put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. So it was a well thought out motion, Councillor Telfer. We move on to page 233, Ragamuffin Drive. Now, I'll just ask here, is anyone planning to move option 4? No? Oh, okay. What, the stickers? All right, go on. Councillor Byrne.
Yes, I'd like to move the motion as listed, endorse option 5. We had a very good day down there where we discussed everything at length and went into things in detail. I've had a lot of residents in that area and people who are very concerned with the crossing and the danger with the crossing. Now, the crossing is beautiful. It's a beautiful area, and it is this new shared area. And there has been education done on it. We have a great little thing on our on Marion site with a video there of how to use a shared this shared zone. But we need to do something more because people need to be educated more about this first type of crossing. And so we have. We've looked at the best way to help with that education. So we looked at the signs at the start of this crossing at each end for the cars to remind them that it is also a pedestrian area, and we're looking at the signage when pedestrians walk off the sidewalk and onto the crossing to remind them again that it is a shared zone with cars. So what we're looking at is an education process in this regard, and we feel that this is going to be the best one of all that we did with our big walk around down there.
Is that seconded? Councillor Crossland speaking.
I'll just speak briefly because most of it is in the report, but the highlights for us were we did spend a couple of hours down there. We observed the cars were pretty much doing the right thing, but we saw many pedestrians just drift out into the road, not even looking. And we felt that a lot of that was because they just didn't realise there was a difference between the path they were walking on and the road. So this will actually give some level of indication. And I'd also like to thank Mark Griffin again, spent a lot of time. We saw videos, we looked at pictures of it used in other countries where pedestrians seem to be able to work out how to use it. And I believe that our residents, with a bit more education, Will. The main difficulty was that there are actually 5 different crossing points. So we would have to repeat any treatment we do 5 times, and 5 zebra pelican crossings would be, ridiculous, really. So we'll give this a try. It's very low cost. We believe it will make a difference, but, again, we will be reassessing it and watching what happens.
Anyone? Question, Councillor Hull?
Mr Mayor, I raised concerns about this when it was first proposed because I knew of the critical mass of population to the north of that area that has no choice but to go down this road to get through. Nobody listened to me, but there was one proposal, and I'd like to ask this question. There was a proposal of having an access road taken down behind the church and around as one of the options to consider. Now, I'd just like to know whether Council has explored that, and is that an option to consider in terms of taking away a fairly substantial number of cars that come down from the north away from this area that should be a safe zone for pedestrians?
they'll have to take that on notice.
Well, if I can speak against the motion and indicate my support for the one that you asked the question about being option four, I really think in terms of visual awareness, that is the option that may work, because as reported in the media, it hasn't been good press for us. It hasn't been a success. And I really think that we need to actually make that sort of statement with option four to make that community awareness about the fact that they're in a very sensitive zone in terms of pedestrians. There's a lot of pedestrian traffic, a lot of car traffic, and I think we need to go to that step. That's my option, be option four.
Anyone else speaking in favour of the motion? Councillor Pryor's got a question.
Yeah, I have a question. This report to me reads a little bit, it looks like option six is maintain the existing conditions, the design's achieved its goal, the speed's come down. Is there a reason we should be doing anything here? The way this reads, it doesn't look like we should be doing anything.
I think that was always the view of some in the administration, but please tell me if I'm wrong.
I'm in a unique position of looking after two groups that actually work closely with that area. I look after the group that designed it and run it and are proud of it. They know exactly what you're saying, but they believe that it works well. I also look after the group that works in the library just next door, and they look out of the window and they don't see incidents. They don't see cars hitting people, but they do see very often close instances, and we've probably all been there when we've had to stop ourselves when we cross that walkway. So I think both of my groups are in their own way right. I think it's a stunning area that I'd be reluctant to put pedestrian crossings and physically separate cars from people, but we do need to make it a lot safer than it is, and administration accepts that, and that's why we've recommended a change.
All right. I'll ask the... Councillor Hutchinson.
I just want a general comment, Your Worship. I think this is escalating commitment. Like, we've created something and now we've realised it's not safe. It's on a bend. It's just escalating commitment. And we see this time and time again with our projects where we have to come back and add and add and add. And personally, I would have been in favour of the painted crossings to make it a bit more arty for the area. But we'll leave it there.
Councillor Valescu.
And not to be nostalgic for many of the former British residents that have chosen to go there, but I like option one because it actually shows that it is a pedestrian crossing. Would it be possible to do it without the flashing poles and just to have the line markings at all those points?
Well, there are a whole lot of options, but we're dealing with option five at the moment, and I think it's time for Councillor Byram to close the debate.
You could, Abbey Road.
Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, we did discuss each of the options at length. To do option one, it just wasn't feasible to have an actual painted crossing there with the proper crossing. We don't want flashing lights. But you'd have to have five because of the way it's structured in this new shared zone. There are actually five crossing points. And four, we did look at that at length and we discussed it, but again, how do you do that when you've got five actual crossing points at different angles across there? So we looked at it and felt that option five was probably the best one that we could go with. Yes, it's something we've put in, and as Councillor Hutchinson said, why are we doing more? It's because residents have come to us and have said that they have problems with it, they are worried about it, and are talking about the near misses and people yelling out of cars at them that it's a car way and not pedestrian. So it's this education process of getting people to know exactly how to use it. As to the question about the road at the back of the church, there is a one-way road coming into through the car park one way, but not two ways at the moment with the way it's been designed. Okay, so yes, I do really recommend that we look at this. I believe that the symbols at the two ends are actually within our our budget of doing just painting on the road, where actually the money is going to pay for the stickers.
I put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? It's carried by a majority. Thank you. Get the stickers out. You could have got the Art of Respect people. I'm sure they'd be willing to help. But anyway, we move on. Oakland's Crossing Community Forum. Page 204. No, I've missed something. What have we got? The Chief Executive Officer Performance Review Approach and Timeline. This has been carefully looked at in the Review and Selection Committee. Shouldn't be any surprises there. Basically, the idea is that we want to make sure that we're sort of we know where we stand with our Chief Exec at the end of this year. Councillor Telfer?
I'll move it as it is without the bit about the extra amendments. So performance and remuneration review as outlined, full stop. In appendix one, full stop.
Councillor Hull seconded.
All happy with our CEO. He doesn't need a Kuonga membership or the opportunity to network to learn how to do his job, and that's a great thing.
Sorry, Councillor Telfer, had you said enough? Thank you. Any opposition? Question? Councillor Vesco?
I'm just wondering how common it is to have this sort of high level of transparency when putting up a motion like this.
It's exceptional. I'll tell you that.
Dorothy Dixon, that's actually based on the previous council, there was nothing like this.
I'm giving
this
you
at
a
all.
Genuine answer. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you, members. 20 minutes to go. We might just get to the end of the business. Oakland's Crossing. Oh no, I've still got another one. I keep skipping over it, don't I? Is that right? Okay. Put finance later, haven't we?
Next.
I've got the Oakland's Crossing one. Right. Page 246. Now, the thinking behind this is that in our wisdom we had planned an amazing forum, etc., as part of a campaign to culminate the Oakland's Crossing lobbying that I've been doing, that others have been doing. And we're at a very positive, delicate stage where the state and federal ministers have been talking to each other. And certainly I've been talking to the state minister. It simply may be that we don't need what we asked for right now, but we want to keep in our saddlebag the option of doing that before the election, but to have that flexibility, because we had been so prescriptive before, it would have to be a rescission motion if you wanted to agree with it. So that's basically the rationale. Question from Councillor Byram.
Thank you, Your Worship. I understand that we did want to have this done before the election, so I just am questioning the resolution there says end of March 2018 to change it to, and yet the state election is 17th of March. Do we need to take that into consideration?
All right. For whoever's moving it, what if we say before 17th March? But, I mean, we'll make it before the end of February. That'll keep everyone happy. Councillor Hutchinson, question?
Thank you, Your Worship. What if we do need to keep going beyond that? We would just move another motion, like if we need to lobby into the new government?
That's right.
All right.
Councillor Hall?
Move the motion with those changes.
Just before you do, I'll come back to you. But Councillor Pryor, do you have a question, or are you going to be seconding? Councillor Hull to move. Yep.
Yeah. In moving it, I'd like to ask the question I asked the CEO the other day by email. The previous motion this council moved about this Oakland's Crossing was in regards to writing to the state government to ask them to actually put their hand up for a nomination to the Infrastructure Australia Fund. I believe that that's essential for the process to happen at a governmental level. I just wondered whether we've had any, whether that has happened and whether we've had any feedback. And if we haven't had any feedback, Mr. Mayor, can we actually drive that issue? Because I think it's critical.
Yes, it's a good question. I remember writing the letter. So it did happen last year. Can't say when. But I don't recall receiving any substantive response. And Mr. Skoll, that's his recollection too. May last year. Well done.
In the motion, could I just suggest that maybe between the two of you, you actually take that up as a critical issue for this project?
Mr. Skoll's taking that up. I'm taking that up. Anything further? Thank you, Councillor Pryor. Against the motion? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried by majority. Thank you.
Yes. It can be taken on notice, but with the events with the tram crossing on South Road, that bridge may need to be replaced. Will that impact or impede our efforts to get the Oakland's Crossing done because of priorities? Like I said, you can take that on notice.
Well, that's just something for Mr. Skoll to take on notice. Now, page 247, the Work Health and Safety Report. Moved, Councillor Blescu. Seconded, Councillor Telfer. Any comments? All those in favour? Sorry, is that a question? Sorry, folks. Question? 247, 248, we're on. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Now we're on the finance report. Did you have a question on that one, Councillor Gard? Why don't you ask a question before we move it?
Thank you, through the Chair. The biggest component of our capital works every year relates to our roads and drainage. In regards to the roads, I can advise that our civil team are very confident that the program will be completed. Our contractor, EDI Downer, have actually got three teams working at the moment for the City of Marion. Typically, we only have one. So our teams are saying they're very confident that we'll achieve that, and that's going to account for a significant amount of the CapEx budget for the year.
I do have a question as well. It's in the reserves descriptions. We've still got this grants and carryover reserve. Now, I've had a discussion with management about this, about separating out grants and carryovers in the sense of unexpended budgeted capital works. One of the auditors made a comment about it. I wrote to the Audit, Finance and Audit Committee, which I think considered that today. Are we going to see a separation of those amounts in that reserve, Mr. Moosup?
Yes, thanks, Mayor Hannah. Absolutely, we already do that. So I think the key thing here is to actually separate it for our members here, but we already do separate that.
Well, you've got me again. We asked for separated figures, and you've told us you're already doing it, you're just not showing us. Well, I guess you've got to be careful what you wish for. What I'm really wishing for is for us to see the separation as well. Thank you.
For sure. We'll certainly do that. In regards to when we initially provide that information to Council, it is already separated in the report that comes to Council. It just is not separated in this monthly finance report, but we'll make sure that's done moving forward.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, we're at that critical time now where we're halfway through the financial year. I'd like to ask the CEO whether he has any concerns whatsoever in terms of overruns, given that we've had multi-million dollar overruns in the last couple of years. This portrayal on pages 258 and 259, all those bar graphs indicate to me that that's a challenge. I'd like to know how big the challenge is, Mr. CEO.
Through the chair, through your worship, I'm going to handball that to Mr. Lyons, actually. The ones where I've got concerns would be in the roads, and I think that's just been addressed. But if I can, I'll pass you to Tony.
Councillor Hull, we will have overruns, and we'll have them next year and the one after. That's a process for Capital Works. My commitment to you is that the overruns will be within reasonable limits and a reduction from last year. That's what we need to do, but every year we will have carryovers. That's the nature of projects. The CEO is correct. The roads are presenting a problem, have presented a problem, and as Vinnie has mentioned, the contractor now has three teams on that. Every month we have a Capital Works project meeting where we discuss what's happening and progress to date, and that team has confidence that that will put that program back on track.
Suggest that if the administration does not have the will or the capacity to get close to expending the money in the budget, and that the overruns are going to be of any significance, maybe let us know so we actually charge our ratepayers less than our rates. If you're not willing to spend it and use it properly,
We're a point of order.
Order.
I think that's inferring blame and in those comments. I understand the nature of what council is trying to say, but I think it's more respectful to put it a different way.
Well, I don't think it was getting to the point of being insulting, so there's no point of order. But I would like to point out to Councillor Hull that we've targeted this very issue for the March elected member forum for the reason that that would be a good time of the year to take stock and see how much we realistically think is going to be unexpended.
A robust position, Mr. Mayor. That's all I'm trying to put.
Right. Well, thank you. We'll take that on board. Councillor Hutchinson, before you're moving the motion?
No, well, I want to ask a question first.
Yeah, go ahead.
Have any unions put any pressure on Council not to outsource work?
Mr. Scull.
The AWU are always asking that we insource as much work as possible, obviously, and there has been comments just recently about the amount of contracted work that we have. But there's no pressure, but certainly comment and observation, bearing in mind that we've got an enterprise bargaining agreement happening right now.
Moving the motion, Councillor Hutchinson. Seconded. Councillor Westwood, thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you very much. It wasn't unanimous. Thank you for... I've just spotted that, so that was carried by a majority. Now, we have a confidential item that I haven't called on.
Do you have a recommendation?
All right. Councillor Telfer, please go ahead with your motion on page 264.
I move that opportunities for email rates notices be explored. And speaking to that, if there's a seconder. Last quarter, it would have cost Council $3.80 to post my hard copy to me. I've gone to BPayView, which is going to save Council $2.16 a year. But there's not only one of me, there's many ratepayers. The staff are prepared to look for other ways of notifying people so that we're not having to give $3.80 out mainly to Australia Post.
Yeah, there's also another angle to this, and that's to get a database of our residents. So if we really want to communicate with them, we have a way to reach them, which is not Australia Post. These things, good for surveys, good for all sorts of things we'd like to do in our council. So it's a real selling point for this.
Anyone opposing that? Councillor Valesco?
Just want some considerations. First of all, we won't be able to include the paper information that we provide with our rates notice, and it might be a good opportunity to do that in the same notification if we can. Secondly, I'd want us to be very careful about how we implement this, because we don't want to create actually more work for ourselves as far as emails not getting through, things like that. And I guess thirdly, I'd be a little bit cautious about, I'd want an opt-in or an opt-out option for people for advertising. So we don't want to get their email and all of a sudden they receive a whole lot of emails from us and they receive a scam email and think we have something to do with it. So that's all I have to say on that.
Well then, all of those comments can be taken on board in the investigation if the motion is passed. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. So thank you for that. And now we go back to page 44 and 47 for confidential items. So members of the public who have been patient, we have to exclude you now. I hope you've been fascinated by the proceedings. I admire your stamina. Let's deal with page 47 first, the confidential minutes of the Review and Selection Committee meeting. So after a motion that we go into confidence, moved Councillor Pryor, seconded Councillor Telfer, all those in favour, that's carried unanimously. I'll just ask that the door be closed, please. There it is, slowly closing. Microphones off. We're now dealing with Signatures Cafe. Could I have someone move the motion for confidentiality? Councillor Valescu, seconded Councillor Telfer. We're on page 44. So I'll put the motion. All those in favour for confidentiality discussion? That's carried. Anyone against? Carried by majority.